You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Hey, happy Friday to you. We appreciate you being with us here on our show today. We got a lot to go. Tim Fletcher, who is a radio host down in Shreveport, will join us to talk about Louisiana Tech and this weekend's Razorback football game against the Bulldogs here in Fayetteville. Razorback basketball back on the court tonight at Bud Walton Arena, taking on Darryl Walker's Little Rock team. We'll talk to Anthony Christensen about that. Women's basketball, terrible loss last night to ORU. Ethan Westerman will be here. We'll talk with him about what's going on with the women's basketball program. This is just one of those fun times of year, isn't it? I mean, you got Thanksgiving next week. Duck season starts in Arkansas tomorrow. You've got high school playoffs going around all over the state tonight. And, of course, lots going on Razorback-wise. NCAA soccer tournament tonight in Fayetteville. The Razorbacks take on Cal. We'll get into all of that today. We appreciate you being here. But first, we're going to go to Tim Fletcher. As mentioned, Tim hosts a radio show down in Shreveport. This is kind of a quid pro quo. I was on Tim's show earlier today, and now he's on ours. Tim grew up a Razorback fan in Monticello, right? You're a Billy? Is that right? Am I correct?
I am a fighting Billy, and, of course, my claims to fame here, Matt. Back in 1981 and 82 in Monticello, there was a young man playing for the Hamburg Lions by the name of Scottie Pippen that we dominated. Of course, he was a sophomore, and I was a senior, and he was about 5'11 at the time. And then in Pine Bluff Dollarway, they had a cat by the name of Andrew Lang, who was a year behind us. That was a little bit of a handful to mess with in 8AA basketball back in those days. So, yeah, we had our hands full. We were not good. We were not good, but we had a lot of fun. I'll tell you that much. At our reunions, we get to talk about the fact that we were 2-8 our senior season, Matt, but we were 3-7 after a Whitehall forfeit. We keep thinking by our 70th reunion, we might be in the playoffs.
That's good. So you have Sonny Cumbie on your radio show every week.
Yes.
So you're plugged in with Louisiana Tech. I wonder, you've got a unique position on this game because you keep up with the Razorbacks, but obviously you keep up with Louisiana Tech as well. That's why I want to talk to you. Just how do you see this matchup going this weekend?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you kind of had a thought similar to what I'm thinking about this weekend, is that who really wants this game to be played? You know, do the fellas that are sleeping in Fayetteville overnight tonight and last night and the previous six nights who play for the Arkansas Razorbacks, do they really want to get out there tomorrow afternoon at Razorback Stadium and take on Louisiana Tech after what happened last week against Texas? Louisiana Tech is coming off their best win of the year. They shut down a Western Kentucky offense that has actually been pretty prolific. They held them to a little over 300 yards, which is something that they – have become quite known for now here at Louisiana Tech. And forever, Louisiana Tech was an offensive showcase, you know, from Gary Croton to, you know, from Jack McNeil, Gary Croton, and Skip Holtz, of course, had great success at Tech, taking them to bowl games 9 straight years. But they've hit kind of some rough patches here offensively. They've never been able to settle on a quarterback, for instance, for a while. Like the Bachmeyer kid that's quarterbacking at Wake is the kid that was quarterbacking last year at Tech after he transferred in from Boise. He didn't have any success in Ruston, but he's doing okay out there, you know. And so there's something that's not clicking offensively for Louisiana Tech. But what they have done is they have embraced the defensive aspect of playing football, and they are playing lights out defense right now. And I think they are heading into this game fully expecting to win this thing. This is not a trip up here to grab a check, although money's nice. But I think Louisiana Tech feels like that they've got more going for them positively right now. They've got a defense that they feel like can handle anybody out there. And I think they are probably more than likely expecting Arkansas to have a little bit of a dip after the Texas loss.
It's a team that, at least from the outside, having not watched a whole lot of them, but when I hear Sonny Cumbie's name, I think of offense. He's an air raid guy, played for Mike Leach, you know, was in that Texas Tech system, was offensive coordinator at TCU for a number of years under Gary Patterson. They had some really good years with him there, including the years that they played Arkansas in 16 and 17. Is it surprising to you that they're not having more success offensively with him at the helm?
Yeah, and it's been a puzzle. And actually, after about the fourth game this year, Matt, he handed over the offensive play calling duties to his offensive line coach, co-offensive coordinator. And so that – and we had him on, and I asked him point blank, Sonny, that had to be a difficult thing to do, you know, because – that's an admittance that you have not done well. That's admitting that everything that you have known. And like you mentioned, Matt, all the coaches that he's coached for, all the systems that he has been exposed to, the success that he had, the position that he played and that he is so familiar with, of course, is the quarterback spot. And it just was not getting done. And there's been quite a few loud calls by Louisiana Tech faithful around here that he's not getting the job done. We've got to move on. And I've never been a fan of move on from coaches quickly because it just seems like a silly endeavor, because who's out there better, you know? And they kind of found themselves in that position when they kind of moved Skip Holtz on well before they probably should have. And now Skip, all he does is know how to win spring football championships, you know, as a Birmingham Stallions coach. He's won three straight spring football championships, and Skip is a really good coach. And I'm not saying Sonny's not, but Tech moved on too quick from that, you know, and I think there's some like seller's remorse, and I wonder how much is playing into that. But if you go 4-8, then, and you're going 3-9, how much longer do people expect you to keep the guy employed? And so there are calls, because when Sonny was hired, that was the deal. We're going to see a dynamite offense. We're going to see those guys out there throwing for 350, 400 yards a game, putting up 550 yards of total offense on a regular basis, and that has not happened. And so I think it was pretty telling that Sonny gave up the play calling duties. I think that's hey, I want to keep coaching here. I need to kind of not rectify, but he needs a foundation for his head coaching career. You know, you don't want to be a first-time head coach and then it failed miserably and you get fired. How long does it take you to get back to that level? And so I think Sonny has done a really smart thing, and he's now delegating. He's now got a hand in everything. And I think that what they are looking at is let's roll this thing defensively and see what happens here, and try to get a redshirt freshman in Evan Bullock to kind of get comfortable in the offense. There's not great weapons on this team offensively. They just don't have those kind of personnel. And I thought it was interesting that you mentioned Gary Patterson, because I asked Sonny, who do you reach out to after the Western Kentucky game to kind of give a, whew, I'm glad that happened. He goes, Gary Patterson. Texted him immediately, and I said, this is one of those old Gary Patterson TCU ball control games that we won. And so he said it was like a WWF ladder match, where you just had to go out there and snot sling it around a little bit. And if they get into a snot sling and drag it out with Arkansas, they're not as big as Arkansas, but I think they are as physical as Arkansas is on defense. And so if it's up to Sonny Cumbie and Louisiana Tech, Matt, this game is going to be about 13-10, 17-14, midway through the fourth quarter, and Tech's going to have the ball and have an opportunity to try to do something. And one thing that you need to worry about if you're an Arkansas fan is they've got a kicker in Buck Buchanan, who once again sounds like that. Wait a minute, Buck Buchanan, Grambling, Kansas City Chief legend or whatever? No, it's Buck Buchanan, the most inappropriately named kicker that there is in college football. There's no kicker who should have a name Buck Buchanan, but he's a good kicker. And so that's something that Arkansas needs to get ready for as well.
So you mentioned Skip Holtz. He brought the Bulldogs up here 8 years ago and gave them a real scare, nearly beat Arkansas.
Sure did.
That was a big game for them. That was the day Lou Holtz was getting inducted into the UA Sports Hall of Honor. Skip grew up in Fayetteville, proud Purple Dog, Fayetteville High School graduate. But, somebody was making a point here earlier this week that rarely do these Louisiana teams – play Arkansas and not give them some scares. Monroe obviously very famously beat Arkansas at War Memorial, and they've given Arkansas some scares. Lafayette, they've given Arkansas some scares when they played them through the years. The quality of athletes, I think, are so good in Louisiana. LSU can't get them all. And for whatever reason, it might be grades, it might be the fact that they just want to stay close to home. They end up at some of these schools like Tech, like ULM, like Lafayette. And I think sometimes you can overlook these teams. You look at their records and the record and think that, maybe the quality of athlete's not very good there. And I think that that's where a team can really get themselves in some trouble, because I do think that these teams have really good athletes, Tech being one of them.
Yeah, they do. And one athlete that I think folks are going to kind of be able to point out pretty quickly is True Edwards, a wide receiver for Louisiana Tech. He's
Troy's
a legacy
son, right?
At Tech. If you remember Troy Edwards from back in the day, who set the NCAA single season reception record at Nebraska when Louisiana Tech went up there with Tim Rattay. I think the score was like 63-41 or something like that, Matt. But Troy had 417 yards receiving, something like that, is where Nebraska gave him a standing ovation. He's a Huntington High graduate here in Shreveport. Well, his kiddo is True Edwards, and he's not as good as his dad, but he's the best that Tech has to offer. And he is a playmaker. He is someone to kind of sink your teeth into. But one thing that, again, I can't emphasize this enough, and you can look at this as a positive or maybe look at it as a negative, depending on which side of the fence you're standing on. There's not a bell cow guy for Louisiana Tech. There's not a running back that you look at and go, man, if we stop him, you know, then we're going to be okay. They throw three, four, five, or six guys out there running the football. They've got, they have played multiple quarterbacks in just about every game this year. They are not afraid to give a quick hook to a QB that has either fumbled the ball or has gotten down to the red zone and made a poor decision on third and two or fourth and two. It happened a few weeks ago. Fourth and two, bad play. You know, had a guy open, made the wrong read, yank, here comes the next guy. They will try just about anything to get something going. And so Arkansas can never get really comfortable with seeing that personnel because Tech's going to try to throw out as many guys as they can at you, and they will try to fresh leg you at running back.
It feels like one of those games because they like to run. You know, Pittman was saying the other day they run a lot of Wildcat too. Mentioned how unique that is, that you don't see that a whole lot in the SEC anymore. But it just feels like the game, you know, Arkansas, they got their running backs back this week. It seems like they're healthy finally. Their quarterback who can run is really good. It just feels like one of those games. It's going to be only streamed, and so you don't have the longer TV commercials. It's like you're going to blink, and it's going to be late third quarter, early fourth. This may be, like, in real time, one of the shortest games we see all year, I think, because of what I think both of these teams are going to want to do.
Evan Bullock threw for 66 yards last week, okay? Yeah, 66 yards. 12 for 15. 12 for 15 for 66 yards, buddy. So we're talking 5 yards of completion, about 4 yards per attempt. You're not going to see a whole lot of verts being run by Louisiana Tech. It is not Louisiana Tech football team that a lot of people probably are accustomed to seeing. So, yeah, I agree with that. I'm kind of curious, what's the expected crowd size for this game?
Well, duck season begins tomorrow, so that's going to keep it down. They're going to be about as many people in Stuttgart as there are here in Fayetteville, probably. Yeah, I don't know. It'll be less than last week, no doubt about that.
Ooh.
You know,
I mean, like 50,000, 55?
It's hard to say. You know, here's the other thing that happens this week is that classes get out today, and even though there are classes at the U of A next week, we all know that the students don't stay on Monday and Tuesday of Thanksgiving for the most part, so I think there'll be a lot of those students who are going home this weekend, so it'll keep it lower tomorrow. It's hard to say what the attendance will be. They have had good crowds this year. They've been very good crowds for football. But, you know, you get to this kind of year and you get the holiday and it's it'll keep people away. That's for sure. Hey, let me get you out of here on this. Tim, you said Louisiana Tech thinks they got a chance to come up here and win.
Mm-hmm.
Realistically, what kind of chances do they have?
I think they got about a 30% chance. You know, the odds makers, I think, are insane to put it at 20 points. Because I really do think Tech's going to be able to limit Arkansas to – let's say that they, quote unquote, hold Arkansas to 31 points, 34 points. Tech is pretty good in special teams. Like I said, the famous Buck Buchanan with the Buck Buchanan leg. They get the 9 points and they get a touchdown late. There is no way in the world I would touch Arkansas minus 20 in this thing. And here's another little thing just to kind of remember about this. Tech is on the weird quarter system, you know, and I asked Sonny, I said, I don't know what you guys do with trimesters. Last thing I knew that, you know, my daughter was born in the third trimester 34 years ago. That's the only thing I know about trimesters, I said. But they've been out of school for almost a week and a half at Louisiana Tech. They have had nothing to do with practice football. Ruston is a town of – how many folks does Ruston have in it, Rogers? About 8,000 people, 10,000 people? Yeah. There's nothing to do in Ruston, you know, for these guys when there's nobody on campus. So they have done eat, sleep, football for almost two solid weeks. They haven't had to go to class. They haven't had to do a paper. All they've thought about, and if last week was a result of them concentrating on football, got a win over the best team they probably faced, or the best win by far that they've had this year. And so they've been eat, sleeping, and thinking Razorbacks for 24/7 for an entire week.
Tim, we appreciate your time. I got a Whole Hog Sports reader here I got to do, but I ought to have you do it because you gave us as glowing a recommendation as I've ever heard on your radio show today.
What are people doing? I mean, this is one of those things that in my soon-to-be previous marriage, it's a sad story here, man, but when I'm going through my taxes and stuff, my then wife would say, look at all these subscriptions. Do you really read the Whole Hog Sports? I said, you can take away my Dallas Morning News. You can take away my Houston Chronicle. You will take away my Whole Hog Sports from my cold, dead hands. There is no way I am ever giving up WholeHogSports.com. It's the place to go. I literally, when I open my tabs in the morning on the show here, I get here about 4:45, 5 o'clock. It's SEC, AL.com, SEC Network. I mean, SEC, Saturday Down South, Whole Hog Sports, Advocate, DandyDon.com, and then I kind of go on from there. Literally, it is my go-to source for Arkansas sports.
Well, I appreciate that. We're going to cut a promo off of what you said. Very kind of you, Tim. We appreciate your time.
You bet, buddy.
All right. Have a good weekend. Tim Fletcher, radio show host in Shreveport. You can get the latest breaking news on all Razorback sports at WholeHogSports.com. We think it's the most in-depth source, Tim does too, for all Arkansas sports. Analysis, latest in recruiting from Richard Davenport. Unique stories on all your favorite teams. Subscribe today at WholeHogSports.com. Also, if you're listening to our podcast, we thank you. You can find a video version on YouTube by searching Whole Hog Sports, or you can find our audio-only podcast on Spotify or Apple by searching Whole Hog Sports. When we come back, Anthony Christensen will be here with me. We'll talk Razorback basketball and that game against Little Rock tonight. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Hey, welcome back. We want to tell you about our friends at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute. They are your source for holistic wellness and your healthy lifestyle changes. Located in Uptown Rogers, the staff at Enhanced Healthcare will target your specific health plan for wellness from neuropathy treatment, primary care, weight loss, and so much more. You can count on the experts at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Rogers. Anthony Christensen is here with me now. The Razorback basketball team will be back in action tonight over at Bud Walton Arena, taking on Little Rock. It's going to be an 8 o'clock tip-off. This game will be on SEC Network tonight. Of course, in addition to everything else that we're interested in from an Arkansas standpoint, this game's got a little bit of intrigue. Darrell Walker, the former Razorback All-American, in his seventh year coaching at Little Rock, kind of hard to believe that he's been there that long, but he has. And he's got a pretty good team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is a Little Rock team that was picked to win the Ohio Valley, kind of going away. I think it was Little Rock got all but two votes to win the OVC, and SIUE got the other two. They are missing K.K. Robinson, another former Razorback, who I don't know if he's out for the season.
He's out for the season.
Yeah. So he's out for the – yeah, now I know the season. I knew he was out. But preseason OVC player of the year, if I'm not mistaken. So that's obviously a tough break, and they've kind of been trying to learn to play without him. And I mean, their first two games against Division I opponents didn't really go to plan, losing to Winthrop and Arkansas State. But I mean, since then they got good wins against UTSA and Tulsa. So they're coming in, still kind of, I think, learning to play without KK Robinson, but, are definitely looking better after the last two games. But, it is a good team, especially in the OVC.
And there was some thought that they might have Mikel Mitchell on that team this year too, but then he didn't get the waiver.
Which, not overly surprising, just because of how many years he had already gotten in college. I know he had dealt with some injuries and stuff as well, but not the most surprising thing. But I guess credit for trying.
just the second time officially that these two teams are playing. They played back in 2021. Walker was the coach at UALR at that point. Eric Musselman was from Arkansas.
Yeah, play in-state opponents.
Razorbacks won that one by 15 on December 4th, 2021. They also played an exhibition game that most people probably remember. It was the day that the court was named for Nolan Richardson back in October of 2019. Chin Coleman is an Arkansas assistant coach, and he was on a Zoom yesterday previewing this game. This is what he had to say about Little Rock. Maybe put your sunglasses on before before you see the lighting of this video. Everything is done via Zoom now. And when the Zoom cameras don't work, things can look a little bad, but there you go.
I like what they run. I like their style of play. They're number one in the country in what we call the Olajuwon stat. That's blocks and steals combined. They average 10 steals a game. They cause 17 turnovers a game. Helter skelter, right? They mix up defenses. They change the rhythm of the game. They keep you off guard. They scatter the court a little bit, and they cause havoc, and that works good in their favor. They run really good stuff on offense. They run some Princeton stuff with this team. They got good pieces, good personnel. Like their team a lot. We respect them, but we don't fear them. But there's a lot of respect for what they do and who they are and how they're playing and winning basketball games.
So Chin Coleman yesterday talking about playing Little Rock. That is one bright backdrop.
Very saturated.
Back behind him. Blake and I, we had a professor, Larry Foley, who's won a lot of Emmy Awards, a great documentary professor. And when we were in school, Blake, this is what he would have said, right? He would have looked at that backdrop and said, all I hear is blah, blah, blah. I have nuclear holocaust going on in the background. That's kind of what that video looks like. It's really blown out.
Yeah, I think they might be able to adjust like the auto exposure because you could kind of see it getting darker and brighter as he would move around. But, yeah, they got some work to do on that camera.
But you sent me that last night. It was like, gosh, almighty, what is this? But anyway, what he said, if you're listening to us, you don't see all the video. You just hear what he had to say. And he had to say some good things. He made a point. You said this is a made-up stat, the Olajuwon stat.
Yeah.
But it's still a stat, a team that can, you know,
they
steal
play well defensively
and block shots.
Yeah, I'm looking at KenPom right now, so this isn't, you know, off the top of my head, but I have watched Little Rock play in a couple of games, the UTSA and Tulsa game in particular. But, I mean, the second-best blocking percentage in the country per KenPom, and then also top 50 in steals as well, or stealing percentage. So, I mean, they're a good defensive team. I mean, they're very right about that. I mean, you've got Milani Wilkinson, who transferred there from LSU, who obviously has that experience in the SEC, who is going to, you know, walk into Bud Walton Arena and not be nervous about playing in an SEC arena against an SEC team. And, you know, like you said, I mean, they do run some good stuff on offense. They're a very good three-point shooting team. I think they're top 30 in the country in three-point percentage, if I'm not mistaken, shooting about 40% from three. So, I mean, there's a lot to like with this Little Rock team. I mean, obviously the defending OVC regular season champion lost to Morehead State in the championship game. And that weird kind of funky...
a travesty that they didn't make the NCAA tournament last year because they're the best team in their conference.
Yes. Though it was kind of, I think, went more like a 1A, 1B between them and Morehead.
Did they win the regular season?
They did win the regular season.
They should have been the NCAA tournament. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's a good team. They
same
return
thing
a
happened
lot
to the Little
from...
Rock baseball team, by the way. Chris Curry's Little Rock baseball team. They won the OVC last year, and then another team gets hot at the tournament. In fact, it was SEMO who came to Fayetteville and ended up ending Arkansas' season. But I got on the soapbox yesterday. Continue. You're giving good basketball insights. I'm over here just regurgitating the same old crap.
But yeah, good three-point shooting team. They are prone to turnovers, especially steals. So that's where you're going to want to see your better on-ball defenders, your Boogie Flans, your DJ Wagners, and even a Duth Hero. They're going to be able to steal or get some steals, against a Little Rock team that is prone to giving the ball away in those kind of situations. So I would expect to see a lot of heavy on-ball pressure from Arkansas. But, you know, it's a good Little Rock team. Certainly better, at least metrics-wise, than Pacific, which they obviously had some struggles against Pacific, but especially defending the three-point line early. So if Little Rock, you can't let them get hot from threes, basically what I'm trying to say.
Do we know what the status is on Trevin Brazil or Jonas Adu and whether or not they're going to be able to play tonight?
Not as far as I'm aware.
Calipari said after the game earlier in the week, he said
that he hoped to get one of them back.
So which one do you think is closer to being back? Or is that just a stab in the dark?
Based on what Matt Zimmerman had said on the radio, I would assume it would be Trevin Brazil because he said that he had been doing some limited action in practice but just wasn't fully ready to play against Pacific. So I would assume he would be the one who's closer, but that's really just me guessing.
Any concern about Carter Knox? And because Calipari said after the game the other day that he might have dislocated a finger.
I wouldn't think so because, I mean, he went back in the game. Okay. And gave them some good minutes, too. I mean, Calipari doesn't strike me as somebody who's going to play a guy if he thinks it's a risk to play them. And, I mean, he's been kind of harping all offseason that if, you know, some guys go down, you know, from this 8-9-man rotation that he's got, then he's going to have 6-7 really happy guys from direct quote from him.
But, he also said after the game the other night that, you know, they were at a 7-man rotation. He said, if I had a guy or two foul out, we're going to be playing four. You know, they got some guys down at the end of the bench who I think have eligibility. We haven't seen them play in a game. I mean, do you think he's – that's kind of tongue-in-cheek. I mean, do you think he's serious? I mean, is he going to play four players over going and getting somebody off the end of the bench?
I would assume you would go and, you know, give Kazmir Chavez some run.
I saw
Melo
a high
Sanchez.
School girls basketball game one time. Where there were so, and it went to like double overtime, there were so many players who had fouled out, they finished 5-on-3.
That's got to be
And I'm
tough.
Just envisioning that maybe happening for Arkansas.
Didn't Alabama just do that a few years ago against Minnesota or something like that?
That did happen,
And it was actually close at the end.
I remember that.
It was 5-on-3.
That is like that's a memory you just pulled out of the
back. Was that one
of
those
mind.
Where they had like some ejection, like somebody like ran off the
bench?
Yeah,
there was like I think so. I mean, I don't remember exactly.
It was some bench-clearing brawl or something like that.
Some wild, wild game.
But then you're thinking, okay, it's 5-on-3. It's about to be a runaway, and it was actually close. Bama was playing really well and almost won with three guys on five.
Very funny. But to go back to the question, I guess if they had some guys foul out, you would think, you know, Kazmir Chavez or Melo Sanchez or somebody like that would get some run, unless they're redshirting, which, you know, we haven't been told they are. As far as I'm aware, maybe I wouldn't think I missed something, but you would think those guys would get on the floor before Cal decides to play 4-on-5 or 3-on-5 or anything like that. But, yeah.
I'm looking to see. I don't see a betting line that's up for this game. Oh, there is. Yeah, here we go.
Ooh.
Arkansas is about a 20.5-point favorite tonight. 20.5, okay. 21, 21.5, somewhere, depending on which book you're looking at. But
I'm not a betting man.
So, I mean, that's right at about where they were for Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the final line was for that game. I think it might have actually gone down to about 16.5 before the game tipped off. And so I guess they covered, but it was not your traditional cover. And I guess it doesn't really matter, you know, as long as you win, it doesn't really matter how you do it. But do you see this one going different than these last couple of games have gone? Because these last couple, I mean, there have been some moments where you've thought, hey, they may not get this done at points in the second half.
Yeah, It's a little hard to say because, I mean, this is a Little Rock team that is obviously, like I said earlier, better than Pacific, at least in the metrics. Where they rank in regard to Troy, let me check. Troy is regarded as a better team, but it's a good Little Rock team. You know, without K.K. Robinson, yes, but it's still a good team. So you would expect them to cause some problems, especially from the three-point line. If they can't guard the three-point line, they might have a lot of the same issues they had against Pacific. Or even some of those issues that we saw against Lipscomb, not Pacific twice. But so I would expect there to be some moments like that just because, I mean, it's Little Rock is a good team, regardless of what you think of the Ohio Valley. I know I covered the Ohio Valley for a little while, so I know the league pretty well, I think. But it is a good team. and you would expect them to cause problems. You schedule a Little Rock team because you want to see where you are against a team that is a team you should beat. Like, let's not beat around the bush. This should be a win for Arkansas, but a team that's going to cause you some issues, I think. So I would expect Arkansas to win, but not without at least a couple of moments where it's like, okay, Little Rock can play.
First of two games in 4 days for the Razorbacks. They'll have a fairly quick turnaround. They'll play Maryland Eastern Shore on Monday night. Kind of interesting how it bookends the weekend like this. A Friday-Monday turnaround, you don't see that all the time. But
now, Maryland Eastern Shore, that should be a game in which there are no issues whatsoever.
See, I put some words in your mouth the other day. I said you said Pacific was one of the worst teams. I was thinking of Maryland Eastern Shore, who you told me was...
arguably the worst.
Yeah, okay. But Pacific was right
Pacific,
there with
Pacific
them.
Was last season.
Yeah, last year.
Last season was, I think they finished like 358.
They got this
Ken
guy
Pop.
Who's, I mean, they're seems like their coach has got him... They're back well-oiled. In the right direction.
Oh, yeah. No,
he's like
he's
a Canadian coaching
legend,
right?
Yeah, he coached 19 years in Canada. He was had a lot of success there and then spent some time at Texas Tech under Grant McCasland, who I'm a huge Grant McCasland fan.
Had him on the podcast before.
Really?
Yeah, we had him on the podcast. Yeah, it was when he was at North Texas.
Oh, that's awesome.
He came on here and talked about an exhibition that they had. Coming up against Arkansas, it's been 3, 4, 5 years ago. The years all kind of run together for me. Hey, switching gears. Soccer tonight, you're going to be there covering it for us. Arkansas in the second round of the NCAA tournament, taking on the Cal Golden Bears. It's a 6:30. Have we figured out what we're calling? Is it a kickoff? Soccer kickoff?
Oh, yeah, kickoff.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, I said first touch earlier this year, and you look like you wanted to shoot me. first touch, that's what they called my daughter's soccer program here in town. So
first touch is like, it's like, I'm going to demonstrate a little bit, but
please don't hurt yourself.
it's like whenever, like, say, like somebody plays a ball in the air, and I'm like,
yeah,
like how you
this
bring
isn't
it
making
down.
Good
that's,
audio.
That's
good video.
it's how you bring the ball down with your foot or your chest or knee or whatever.
If I tried to put my foot up like you just did, I would fall out of this chair.
Yeah, I wanted to say for the listeners in your car, Anthony did a pretty acrobatic move at the desk and got his leg up pretty high.
You
got
to remember, I'm a 2-year JUCO college soccer athlete. Veteran.
Yeah, I'm a 3-time dad. I can't get my leg up like that anymore. Soccer tonight.
2 goals in 2 years.
6:30 kickoff, not a first touch. If you want to call it first touch, I guess you can. 6:30 kickoff between the Razorbacks and the Golden Bears. This is going to be on SEC Network Plus. Is that right?
ESPN Plus.
Oh, that's right. Because
it's a tournament.
It's a tournament. So it's ESPN Plus. So you actually do have to have a subscription to ESPN Plus to watch this. Arkansas, if they win, they will play either Stanford or UConn on Sunday night in a third-round game here in Fayetteville. Those two teams are going to play this afternoon in their second-round game. So maybe actually a little bit later than 6:30, depending on how that game goes. But the point being, it's a game tonight. Hope you're going to bundle up, Anthony. It's going to be cold tonight. This is...
Marty, wearing my fleece, man.
This is going to be a cold... Does cold weather affect soccer players at all?
Not really, at least in my experience. Like, I mean,
yeah, because
so
much of soccer is played in warm weather conditions.
Yeah, you'll get moving, and I mean, if you're wearing like an Under Armour and gloves and stuff, you're fine. Like, I mean, it hurts a little bit more when you get hit with the ball just because it's cold and it's a little harder, but. I never really found myself, like, I mean, I played outdoor soccer year-round growing up, so there was one game we played in sleet, which was, I mean, not the most fun experience, but, I mean, I don't think it really affects you that much. I mean, sure, maybe it does, but, like, I mean, if it's not, like, raining or snowing or sleeting, not that much.
Predicting soccer is kind of like predicting if a bird's going to come land on your ledge, I feel like. Like, you never know what you're going to get in this sport. But to the best you can, kind of look into your crystal ball, like, what do you see this game coming down to tonight, and do you think it's a game Arkansas wins?
I always hesitate to make winning predictions, but I think this is another game that you're going to see kind of one in that midfield area. So you're going to want to see a good game from somebody like Jalen Brownlee if you're Arkansas, just kind of controlling that midfield, just kind of sitting in front of the back. I mean, Cal plays in the ACC, which is still kind of dumb to say. The All-Coast Conference, I guess we're calling it now.
That's what I'm calling it.
But the ACC, it's, I mean, you know, very possession heavy. I mean, there's a lot of really, really good teams in the ACC. The ACC is kind of, you know, been the women's college soccer conference for a while now. So, I mean, Cal's going to come in having played against a lot of very good teams. So it's not like they're going to come in and be intimidated against Arkansas. They can possess well, so I think that's why you're going to want to see, you know, that midfield battle, your Jalen Brownlees, your Kennedy Balls, Ainsley Ertzens, your players like that, Macy Schultz. You know, players like that are going to have good games in order for Arkansas to have, you know, kind of the success that they want. And obviously, you're going to need some success up front. Which Arkansas has had no problem finding that most of the year. I mean, that front three, the typical starting front three of you know, Ava Tankersley and Kate Doyle and Anaya Robinson. I mean, they've had no problem scoring. And then they've got, you know, players like Bella Field coming off the bench. Or, you know, yeah, there's a lot to like there. And then defensively, they're going to have to defend against Carly Lema, who is ACC Player of the Year, 16 goals, 3 assists, but. You know, even though she does have, you know, far and away the most goals on the team, you know, Cal's not like a one-dimensional team where it's like, okay, Carly Lima either scores or we don't score. I mean, there's a lot of players who are a threat on that team, especially just kind of moving the ball in transition. So it should be a fun game to watch. It's kind of the short answer to the question.
If you want to hear what Colby Hale has to say about this game, we interviewed him a couple of days ago on our podcast. Just go back on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, search Hog Sports. And you'll find his interview talking about his team, Bet Cal. We talked about recruiting. We talked about the house settlement, kind of a wide-ranging conversation with Colby a couple of days ago. All of the eyes on Arkansas soccer will also be on Starkville this weekend. Mississippi State, the number one team in this bracket, hosting Washington tonight. And then in the other game in that quadrant is Notre Dame and Kentucky. If Mississippi State loses this weekend and Arkansas advances past the weekend, then Arkansas would actually get to host an Elite Eight game next week with a chance to go to the College Cup on its home field. If Arkansas advances and Mississippi State advances, then they would play in Starkville next week. Lots of stuff have to happen before that point. But, hey, we're not playing. We get a chance to kind of look ahead a little bit and think about what might happen. Wednesday, you can stay on top of all Razorback sports with a digital subscription to the Hogs Illustrated app. Most complete Razorback coverage in one location. Subscription will give you 20-plus issues to Hogs Illustrated magazine, plus complete access to all of our content at wholehogsports.com. Monthly subscriptions begin at $17. You can join now, hogsillustrated.com/subscribe, or call 479-684-5509 for Hogs Illustrated and wholehogsports.com. Anthony, thank you for being here. When we come back, Ethan Westerman will join me. We'll talk a little bit about Razorback football, Razorback women's basketball. They had another big loss last night to ORU at Bud Walton Arena. Things not going well for them. We'll talk to Ethan about that as well, and we'll also give you our weekend predictions. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over 4 decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are Design.
Hey, welcome back. We appreciate you being with us. We want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971. Committed, professional, versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by now and see them at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. Ethan Westerman is here with me now. We'll talk Razorback football here in just a minute, but Ethan, first, the women's basketball team, what is going on there? That's a 21-point loss to Oral Roberts last night, and we kind of thought that the season would go poorly. I don't know that we thought it would go this poorly this early. This is back-to-back losses for them now by 70 points. Albeit UCLA really good, ORU, I think they're a decent team in their conference, but still, if it's going this bad, I mean, imagine what it's going to be like when South Carolina and LSU and Tennessee and those types get on the schedule.
Yeah, you asked what happened. It's easier to tell you what isn't happening, and that's defense. The defense is just absent. Like, it's so easy for other teams to score, it seems like, most of the time. They've had a couple good stretches of defense, like maybe maintained it for a quarter or so multiple times this year, but like it's never for a full game. Even the games that they've won, there's been just extremely big defensive lapses. It's getting beat on backdoor cuts. It's not closing out. It's just losing your person. It's things like that that it's, I don't know. I don't know how they can win many games if the defense doesn't improve by a lot. Like, I'm not, like, even if the defense improves some right now, they're going to be overmatched against those teams that you mentioned. It's like, if they want to actually win some of these games and maybe get a conference win or two, they're going to have to improve defensively, like, a lot.
Tell me if I'm wrong about this, because I did not listen to Neighbors after the game last night. I just read the quotes that were in your story. He has a very optimistic aura, I guess, if you will, about him. The quotes that you had in his story last night, I mean, those were about as pessimistic, I think, as maybe I've ever read from him.
Yeah, Grant Hall and I, who Grant goes to all of these games, we looked at each other at the end of that, and we said that is the most critical he has ever been. Mm. I mean, it was – he understands how bad of a performance that is. I mean, you know what the perception is of you, and going into this year, a lot of people are, you know, have hopped off the wagon of like, mm-hmm. of wanting him here as the coach. And then you can't have a performance like that, especially, you know, whenever there aren't many opportunities to get wins, like you look at your schedule and it's so tough. And this Oral Roberts game is one that you're at least thinking like, should have a good chance to win. You can't get beat by 21. I mean, they were on the verge of going down by 30 pretty late in the game. It was as critical as I've ever heard him, and I think it's because he understands how unacceptable a performance like that was. I mean, Hunter Juracek was sitting right behind the courtside seats. He was there in attendance, and that's just not – whenever you already kind of have that, you know, people feeling a certain way about you, you don't want your AD to show up to a game and watch you get kind of steamrolled by a Summit League team from Tulsa. So
tough.
Yeah.
Tough situation there right now, because it doesn't seem like that season's going to turn around at all for them if the games are going like they are right now. And then they could very easily be a four-loss team. They had a great comeback in Little Rock a week or so ago to keep from being 2-4 at this point. And as Ethan wrote, this is the worst start that they've had under Neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Jimmy Dykes last year that they had the last time they had a start like this. So, just six games in, but not looking great for the women's basketball team this year. Football, turning the page. What do you think about tomorrow's game?
Louisiana Tech is it's deceiving, their record. I think everybody's said that. I mean, it's been a point that's been you maybe over said this week, but it's true. I mean, you look at their scores, and it's not just like that they're losing close games. It's the way that they've lost some of these, too. Like, I wrote a piece that's on our website today about just what to know about Louisiana Tech, and I'm just going to mention just two of their losses, kind of what happened. They had a game at New Mexico State, a double overtime loss, that they had a chance to walk them off in regulation but had a 27-yard field goal blocked. Mm. So there's one loss. And then Jacksonville State, who is now
– Rich Rod's team.
Yeah, and they're the only undefeated team left in Conference USA – Louisiana Tech was up 37-31 with 4 seconds left, and then Jacksonville State throws a 49-yard Hail Mary pass completed. They miss the extra point to send it to overtime, and so it's like the pain of, you know, you give up a Hail Mary in regulation, and it's hard to recover in overtime, I think. That's just how deflating that is, and that's exactly what it seems like what happened there. So they've had a blocked game-winning field goal and given up a Hail Mary pass for two of their losses, and one of those is against the best team in the conference. They've beaten Western Kentucky, which I picked before the year. I said I thought they would be the champion in Conference USA. I know a lot of people picked Liberty, but I liked Western Kentucky.
Where are you making Conference USA predictions?
Sicko places you don't want to hear of. I have a friend.
No, please, please.
If Kay Daniel is listening, if Kay Daniel is listening to this podcast, he is the Group of Five guru.
Who is your Sun Belt champion?
I think I picked Coastal, but it might have been a terrible pick.
How about Mountain West?
Boise.
Mac.
I don't. I think Toledo.
Who'd you pick to win the Commander in Chief Cup?
Don't ask. This was months ago, but I remember picking Western Kentucky because I looked at them and I said I like what they have coming back. And then they got steamrolled by, I think, was it Texas? That they got absolutely. I think Western Kentucky got beat really bad by Texas, and it made me feel worse. Or no, it was by Alabama. It made me feel worse about that pick. Anyway, I'm chasing rabbits now.
Who'd you have in the 8-4A this year?
The 8-4A? Is that what Fountain Lake is still in? That's my alma mater.
Might be.
I've given up on that. I do have the Rogers Mounties, though, as our next state champions in our largest classification.
Did you have Harding repeating in the GAC?
Well, my little brother plays for the University of Arkansas Monticello, so I think that's the second Monticello mention on this podcast today, probably a record. So I was picking the Boll Weevils, but that one didn't pan out. All that to say, La Tech has played their best teams in their conference really well, and they probably should have a couple more wins if they didn't have, like, Arkansas loves to look at some games on its schedule and be like, oh, that could. Louisiana Tech really has a reason to say that should have been a win. Like, it was like one play that didn't just go went as bad as it could have.
And so they've got three overtime losses in that.
Yeah, three overtime, and one of them, like I said, the New Mexico.
Well, you mentioned
State,
two of them.
Double overtime.
You mentioned two of them. Yeah. So I mean, if the overtime games go differently, then instead of 4-6, they're 7-3.
Yeah, exactly. And
overtime is such a crapshoot.
And the fact that I know NC State's not amazing or anything. I watched them last night against Georgia Tech, a little bit of that. I think they lost by one. But anyway, they played NC State within 10, which NC State was a preseason top 25 team. That was in La Tech's second game of the year. Their losses are all just right there. This is a team that is dangerous, I think. And what makes them dangerous for Saturday is that they play really good defense. And Arkansas, I think that what you have to do against a team like this is you have to punch them in the mouth with, like, quick scores in the first quarter, take it out of them a little bit. If you look at this score at halftime, and it's like, I don't know, like, they're keeping Arkansas under 10 points or under or somewhere around there, it's going exactly Louisiana Tech's way.
I've said all week that it feels like a game. The point spread feels really high because of the fact that I think both of these teams are going to run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I could easily see it being a game where they, like, neither of them get just a whole lot of possessions. You know, maybe like each of them get eight countable possessions. And countable, if you haven't watched or listened to me talk about this before, it's basically possessions that don't end with, you know, like running out the clock in a half. So let's say they both get eight countable possessions. I mean, that you got to be really efficient to be able to beat a team by 20 if you're only getting, you know, that few opportunities.
Yeah, and I think that
I need like some defensive scores or something.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think that I trust Louisiana Tech's offense to hang with Arkansas that much. Just they haven't shown me a ton looking at them this year. But that defense, if say they generate a turnover and give the offense the ball in a short field situation, or they score a defensive touchdown, that's whenever this gets really interesting. I think Arkansas should be able to move the ball on them a lot better than these Conference USA teams do. But I just think this is one of those games that you look at their record, like I said, and it's just, it does not tell the story. I mean, they're a top 15 team in rushing defense, I think, nationally. If not top 15, they're top 20. Somewhere up there. But, yeah, it's a very good team. They also have, a former Razorback,
Zach Zimos.
Yes, he is. He mainly played special teams here at Arkansas. Mm-hmm. I think that was not mainly, that was all he played. But he's turned into a good linebacker for them.
He spent four seasons at Arkansas, has gone down there. He's their second leading tackler this year. And then on the other side, Arkansas's got Kevie Rose, who spent four seasons at Louisiana Tech and is in the rotation for the Razorbacks. So almost like a trade, Zimos for Rose. It's kind of because it was the same offseason that they ended up at their different schools. Yeah. So
I will say, after I listened to some Cumbie press conferences after these, like, just terrible, like the losses that probably hurt so bad, and he's a guy you like listening to. I mean, he's like, he wears his emotions kind of on a sleeve after a game, and I like seeing a coach that he was hurting with his players clearly after the Jacksonville State loss. I mean, if you read the story on the site today, I put his quote in there. I mean, he got all inspirational mode on him. He was like, this is what I share with them. They're in the arena. We're in the arena. And, man, we have known the despair and defeat, but we've not wavered. I mean, this is – I like Sonny Cumbie.
He's been in some good programs. I mean, like, you know, as an assistant coach, obviously played for Mike Leach, coached for Mike Leach, coached for Gary Patterson. And then you think about, you know, what he did in the NFL. I mean, he was in Tony Dungy's franchise with the Colts, was there with Peyton Manning. He was in the Ravens franchise, I think, when Brian Billick was their head coach. So he's been in some really successful some successful places. Kind of interesting. I always like looking back at people's past and just seeing, you know, what kind of situations that they were in. Did you have something else? Yeah.
I was going to say, and it's crazy because before the season, we always put together our Hogs Illustrated football preview, you know, in the off season, and I was assigned, like, we take a look at these teams they're playing and kind of give an outlook, and I was assigned Louisiana Tech before the year, and I think what he's done this year is pretty impressive, because I was looking at what they had coming back, and it wasn't much, and the fact that he's got them playing this well this late into the year, I think it says a lot about a coach. Whenever I kind of expected them to take their bumps and bruises along the way, but they're really one of those teams that it seems like they're hitting their peak at the end of a year. Which I always have a lot of respect for coaches who can. That's the outcome, that their team is playing their best by the end of the year, yeah. And that's certainly what he has going on right now.
That's what I used to say about Brian Kelly, and then whatever happened the last few weeks happened.
I hate to say it, but now I think Shane Beamer's our new one.
Who wants to play them in November? They've been really good. All right, we're going to get your predictions now. Blake, roll the music. We're going to start.
Music?
We do have music. You can't hear in your ears, but we've got it. I promise you it's there. We'll talk about some games that are going on around the country. We won't pick them. Just some top 25 teams that I think need to be on upset alert this week. It begins tonight. The Razorbacks of the West, UNLV, who are ranked number 24 in the latest playoff rankings, they go to San Jose State. And San Jose State gave Boise a game three and a half quarters.
This is the pesky team in that
conference.
They can throw
it. They got a really good receiver, Nash. Mm-hmm. He may be the Biletnikoff winner this year.
The pesky, pesky Spartans, man. They're going to be the one to, you know, you thought they might be the Boise State beaters. But
I have watched so many of UNLV games this year because they play on Friday, and all of them start at like 9 o'clock at night. So whenever I get done with the Fayetteville games, I go home. And you're just kind of like trying to wind down, and hey, there's football on. It's live, and so I end up watching these games till like 12:30 in the morning.
Jalen Catalan's having a good year for them.
Jackson Woodard is having a great.
He's
year.
He's a great year for.
He's
him
a
too.
Finalist for the Burlsworth Trophy this year.
They're,
so
they're making some plays over there. These the former Razorbacks. I'm going to pick UNLV. If are we picking it?
Nah, we're not. Not
well,
these.
I picked it. So
okay, well, we'll write that. You can tell your sicko buddies that you picked. UNLV to win this
Will
game.
Will do.
You know, just a couple other teams that I think are ranked that should be on upset alert this week. Penn State goes to Minnesota tomorrow. This is the CBS game with Gary and Brad Nessler.
And you know how I feel about this.
I do know. That's why I always poke the bear. Penn State's an 11.5 point favorite, but Minnesota, they're 6-4. They got a team that can play. Figure Penn State will probably win that, but you know, I mean, hey. Who the heck knows what kind of weather you're going to have in Minnesota?
Yeah.
Did you watch the Steelers-Browns game last night? Thank God those teams
Jameis
were wearing.
The Jameis Winston interviews were hilarious.
They were great.
Oh, man.
Thank goodness that they were wearing the pants they were wearing. They were wearing, like, highlighters, just pants, and that was really the only way you could see where the ball or, like, see anything on the field. The snow was coming down so hard in that game.
Nobody wants the Gophers in November, do they? I mean, you don't want to go to Minnesota in November. That's setting yourself up for for things to get interesting whenever they wouldn't have been in September.
That's a life quote for me. No Gophers in November.
Okay.
BYU, still in the playoff as of right now. They go to Arizona State, and they are a three-point underdog to the Sun Devils. So I don't know that this is really an upset if Arizona State wins, but obviously BYU being in the playoff picture as of right now, that's an interesting game. It's also at 2:30 on ESPN.
I blank on the coach's name for Arizona State. Is it Whittingham? Is that the coach?
Willingham, I think. No. Dillingham.
Dillingham.
There you go. Christina told me this yesterday.
I'd run through a wall for that guy.
He's nuts.
If I played for him. I mean, my gosh, he's crazy.
And he is crazy.
He's crazy, but the passion, you love it.
Friday Night Football. I was watching Arizona State beat somebody earlier this year, and he had like the psycho interview of the year at 1:30 in the morning.
I must say, it was very late. I remember
very
that.
Very, very late.
But how old is he? He's like...
You're not that old.
34 years old. Yeah, I mean, this guy, I think he's going to be around for a little bit.
And then one more non-conference game that I would say maybe upset alert. Colorado goes to Kansas, and this game's going to be played at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City tomorrow. KU, the last 2 weeks, they've beaten Iowa State and they've beaten BYU. So the Buffs go in there. They're a three-point favorite. But
hey,
KU, they've got – I like Leopold as their coach. I mean, I think he's a really good coach. He's been given a hard hand coaching Kansas. But the fact that he's had them winning these types of games and the success that they've had, he's good.
KU is they're the La Tech of the Big 12. Like exact same situation. Yeah. They've lost all these one-score games.
I woke up thinking that this morning.
You did?
No.
Oh man, I was like, wow, look at me and you. This chemistry we're building.
All right, SEC games this week. Some that we won't pick. UMass is at Georgia. Georgia's a 42-point favorite. UMass fired their coach this week. I think we all know how that one's going to go. UTEP is at Tennessee, another get-right game. Tennessee, a 40.5-point favorite. By the way, does anybody get bothered by the fact that we have all these crap games in the SEC right before Thanksgiving? The way these teams schedule, and Arkansas, I'll throw them in there too with Louisiana Tech. I understand why they are scheduling these teams. It's to take a breather in November. But to me, the league office ought to step in and say, hey, look, we're coming down the stretch. Let's have some games here at the end that really mean something. Get off my soapbox there. But Tennessee, a 40.5-point favorite over UTEP. A lot of these games are going to be streamed only this week just because the quality of them. Another one, Wolford goes to South Carolina. I don't even think there is a line for that game. SEC games, though, this week. We'll start with the morning game. Ole Miss at Florida. Rebels coming off a bye. They're a 12.5-point favorite.
Yeah. You said it's the morning game. I think by the fourth quarter, it's going to be the morning with OU for the Gators. I think it's going to be ugly. I wouldn't want any part of Ole Miss right now. They're just that defense is elite, and yeah, I just think this has all the makings for ugly. I know the line is actually, you know, looking at it at 12.5, it probably has a lot to do with how Florida's played some teams this year. But I just think Ole Miss right now is on another level.
The Gators are 5-5. They can get to a bowl if they beat Ole Miss. Of course, they can do it, too, if they beat Florida State next week. And everybody's beaten Florida State this year. I think Ole Miss wins this. Florida's defense is not real good this year. And I think Ole Miss offensively will take advantage of that. Lagway, he's a good quarterback for Florida. I've been impressed with how he's played. But I would be surprised that, number one, I'd be surprised if it gets into a shootout with Ole Miss's defense. But I would definitely take Ole Miss's offense in that type of situation. Texas is at home. It's a 2:30 kickoff on ABC. Kentucky comes to town. Longhorns are a 20-point favorite.
Texas.
I mean, I don't know what else you got to say. Kentucky, they've come close to – well, I mean, they did pull the upset against Ole Miss, and they came close to pulling an upset over Georgia. So it's like when they play these better teams, they've given some of their better efforts. They gave Tennessee a fairly good game this year, but nah, I can't see them going to Texas and winning that one. I think or really even giving Texas much of a game. I think Texas wins that one, fairly easily. Missouri on the road this week at Mississippi State. Missouri's still ranked number 23 in the playoff poll, by the way. I don't understand it. I just don't understand it. I don't understand how you watch Missouri and you see a team that's a top 25 team. Maybe I'm looking at it too critically. Maybe I'm looking at the I could be influenced by our efficiency ratings because they're terrible. I think they've been the beneficiary of just playing a really crap schedule this year. But they go to Mississippi State, the Bulldogs a chance to win an SEC game this year because they ain't doing it next week when they play Ole Miss in Oxford. Missouri's an 8-point favorite.
Yeah, this was – so we – just the nature of a lot of stuff that we do, you're always kind of – you're having to get ready for stuff in advance. And so I was already looking at Missouri stuff this week. And I just I did the, you know, just hands on your head, like, oh, no, all these stats are about to change drastically that I wrote here because they're about to eat against Mississippi State.
That's right.
That's just what everybody does against the Bulldogs. I think Missouri is going to have a big offensive day. Luther Burden might – he might set records. And then they have a good little two-back with Noel, and then I'm blanking on the other guy's name for Mizzou, but they're both pretty good backs, and Mississippi State can't defend the run. It's going to be – I think it's going to be high scoring. I think Mississippi State can put up some points with them too, but Mizzou.
Yeah, I think Missouri wins. I think they score a lot against Mississippi State because everybody scored a lot against Mississippi State. That game is a 3:15 SEC Network, by the way. 6:30 on ABC, Alabama goes to Norman to take on the Sooners. Sooners looking for a little Sooner magic, but they're a 13.5-point favorite as they're trying to get to bowl eligibility.
The Jalen Hurts Bowl will go to his first team.
Oklahoma can't score. They can't score. And it's hard to even think that they're going to have a chance to upset a team with as bad as their offense has been. I think Alabama, they're rolling. They're really good right now. I've liked their offense all year, and their defense has really taken some steps as the season's gone along. They're one of the more complete teams in the SEC. A 6:30 kickoff on ESPN. Texas A&M goes to Auburn. This is the game. The Aggies are a 2.5-point favorite. It feels like the trap game of the week in the SEC.
Yeah, I feel the same way about it. I just think that A&M, they've got the makings of a team that can make things interesting with almost anybody. But I just don't ever count on them to make the plays to actually have for them to win, if that makes sense. Like, I can see this being close, but I just don't trust Auburn to make the plays when they need to. So I'm gonna pick A&M.
Yeah, tell me this: A&M quarterback, when was the last time they had a good quarterback performance against a Power Four team this year, other than Marcel Reed coming off the bench and playing lights out against LSU in the second half? They haven't had it. Their quarterback play is highly inconsistent. I don't know if they're playing Reed or Wegman at this point right now. Also, Le'Veon Moss, he was lost for the season a couple, 3 weeks back. They haven't really played anyone since they lost him for the season. That happened in the South Carolina game, and they followed that with a bye and then a game against an FCS team.
I think A&M,
I'm going to take them because they're the safe pick. It would not surprise me at all with Auburn, the way they can play defense.
Do it. Just pick them.
It wouldn't surprise me for Auburn with the way they can play defense to yuck this game up enough to win it like 11-9.
Come on, Matt. Just have the.
I think A&M wins. Guts.
Pick Auburn.
Did you hear the quote from Mike Elko this week? They were asking him about how do you keep your team from overlooking Texas. He gives this whole speech and he goes, but our focus this week is on Texas. I mean Auburn.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah,
that's so funny.
It's pretty good. Go find that if you get a chance. The other SEC game this week, 6:45 SEC Network, Vanderbilt is at LSU. Both teams are 6-4, 3-3 in the league.
Give me the Doors. I picked them. Really? I already picked them this week, so there's no going back.
I think the Doors
print.
Get their doors blown off by LSU.
Really?
I really do. I think
what about LSU's play makes you think that's in
I just
store?
Think they're mad. I think they're mad.
Are they?
And they're mad, and they're talented, and they're at home at night. I think that Vanderbilt's been going, their trajectory has been going down in the last, you know, 3-4 weeks, I think.
They're coming off a bye.
The only thing that, one thing that can keep this from being a blowout is that Vanderbilt is a really good ball possession team. They like we're talking about Arkansas, Louisiana Tech, they can limit the number of possessions. They've had fewer possessions this year than any other SEC team by a lot, and their opponents have as well. And so, but I think LSU wins this. LSU's a 7.5-point favorite.
Ever since the third quarter against Texas A&M,
they've been outscored.
Football's been miserable for LSU fans.
They've been outscored since that point 100-33,
yeah.
I think.
Football has been miserable for that fan base. And I think it's about to get more miserable because I think Vandy's going to come in there and shock them.
It might.
I mean, I
think LSU wins.
We'll see. But these Tigers aren't giving me much reason to have any faith in them.
All right, Arkansas, Louisiana Tech, 3:00 kickoff over at Razorback Stadium tomorrow. This is going to be only streamed, by the way. So if you're listening to us, I would suspect you're probably pretty efficient with your television, but this is not going to be on any, this isn't going to be on SEC Network, any of these linear channels. It's going to be on SEC Network Plus. It's going to be on ESPN Plus. If you're a Razorback baseball fan, just think of the way you have to watch all the Razorback baseball games, and you'll find this Louisiana Tech game tomorrow. Arkansas is a 22-point favorite. Razorbacks, of course, can get to bowl eligibility with a win tomorrow. We both think Arkansas is going to win, Ethan. Can they cover the spread?
No. I'm not picking them to cover. I just think that this is too much of a... I just don't think that there's going to be that many chances to cover against them, like we talked about with the possessions. And I think that they've given me no reason at home this year to think that they're going to put up... Like, I feel like to cover a spread like this, you got to have a hot start. And they haven't given me one yet this year.
Arkansas has been this weird team this year because... Like, from a win-loss perspective, I don't know that the games have really gone a whole lot different than we thought they would. Tennessee would be the outlier. But, like, in terms of how you think the game is going to go, like how it's going to play out, high scoring, low scoring, this, that, the games are never, it seems like, what we think they're going to be. And so I lean on the side of saying I think it's unlikely that Arkansas covers the spread, and I'll go ahead and say that they don't, which probably means that they win by, like, 35 or lose the game. I mean, the games never quite go the way that we think they're going to go with Arkansas. It's been a very weird year trying to forecast how these games are going to go.
Yeah, people picked their. I had them. We talked about this at the beginning of the year. Everybody holds on to their number of how many wins they think they're going to have. And I had them at 5-5 in this week. But let me tell you, it was not the same wins. I think I had Auburn as a loss. I think I had Tennessee as a loss. I mean, it's just. They're right where you thought they might be, but yeah, they went a different route to get there.
Yeah, it's been an interesting year. The roller coaster is almost over. Louisiana Tech tomorrow, Missouri next week, and then we await word on a bowl game, assuming that Arkansas gets that sixth win, which we certainly all expect is going to happen tomorrow. Hope that we'll see you. Hey, you got any high school picks, Sicko?
Yeah, Rogers.
Okay, Rogers plays Conway tonight.
Rogers.
Okay, there you go.
I don't know anything about Conway, but I don't have to. I know everything I need to about the Mounties.
All right. We appreciate you being here. I'm not going to pick on you anymore about your sicko football. Hope you'll see you, or we'll see you at our website at wholehogsports.com.
It's the end of the week, man.
It is. I'm tired. Wholehogsports.com. We're going to have coverage of everything: football, men's basketball, women's basketball, soccer. Cross-country national championship is going to be run tomorrow morning. We'll have it all at our website, and hope we'll see you there. And we'll see you next Monday for our next podcast. Have a great weekend, everyone.